Hi, welcome to Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out. My name's Nicole, and I'm an alcoholic. But this podcast isn't just for alcoholics. It's for anyone who has questions about how to be happy, how to be joyous, and why we freak out. So welcome to the podcast, and thanks. To Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out. I hope you're well. Oh, I gotta take out my earrings because those things are gonna knock against my little mini mic and you will hear them. Not cool. All right, they're beautiful earrings. You can't see them. Oh, I hope you're okay. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing okay. I know I said on my last podcast, you know, I went through a breakup and I was doing really well. I was doing really well. And I had all this energy to do all these things that I haven't done. Started gardening, nesting a lot, buying a lot of things for the house that I currently live in. And I think my roommate who's away in Europe for a month and a half is going to come back to a completely different home. And I feel bad because I definitely took her garden decor art off the living room wall and replaced it with, you know, actual framed art that belongs inside. So I hope she doesn't get offended. She said I could, so, you know. I did it. And other things, plants. I bought a lot of plants. And I've been watering them vigilantly. My next task is rearranging the kitchen, deep cleaning the bathroom, cleaning out my stuff out of my room. I don't know if I mentioned last time I had a garage sale. Totally killed it. And yeah, I've just been keeping busy, and then I got sick. It was my own goddamn fault. I got food poisoning. I stayed home from work. I was working from home, and I thought I was going to be super great and healthy and make myself a vegan Buddha bowl. And I used some seitan that had been in the fridge for about 3 weeks, and I thought it was supposed to be slimy. I don't think it's supposed to be slimy. And there ensued a lot of vomit. So that was pleasant. And I've been recovering from that for like 4 days now. I've never had food poisoning. I don't know if it's supposed to last for 4 days. I might have eaten a burrito somewhere in there, and that was not a great idea. So I'm feeling better today. But, you know, being sick forced to slow down and sit with feelings. And yesterday was a lot of crying and a lot of feeling sorry for myself and a lot of, you know, poor me, and, you know, a lot of mourning, a lot of grief, a lot of missing this person, and all those feelings are real. I don't know if the self-pity is necessarily, like, great or healthy to indulge in. I don't think it is. I worked really hard to try and not indulge in my self-pity, but the grief part is real, and I don't think that I really gave myself the space to do that or the time because I was keeping so busy. But also genuinely, I didn't really feel that yet. I hadn't. I think because a lot of my breakup really just, like I talked about in my last episode, it just didn't really have a lot to do with me. I mean, it might have been all me. But a lot of it was, you know, stuff on my partner's side that I can't control and I can't fix. And I wish that I could. I really deeply, sincerely wish that I could, but I can't. and I love him enough to, you know, want him to figure it out and, you know, be a whole person and, you know, really dig into this shit and come out the other side, you know, with a little bit of healing. And I say that with all the love in the world because I really do. I really, really want that. But yesterday I did not. Yesterday I just wanted to feel sorry for myself and I wanted to, you know, indulge in that. And today I'm feeling so much better because I let it all out and I just let it, you know, I let it go and let the tears come and filled a little corner of my bed with little, you know, tissue flowers because I was very snotty and it's gross. Couple that with vomiting and you've got, you know, the picture of the perfect single girl who's ready to, you know, mingle. Jesus. Oh, God. So, yeah, that was interesting. And I think the other reason I'm feeling a lot of heightened emotion right now is because tomorrow is my 3-year sober anniversary. Some people call it birthdays. I was mentioning that it was my birthday to my boss, and she thought it was my actual birthday. I said, no, it's not my belly button birthday. It's my sober birthday. And she was like, oh my God, I love it that you call it a belly button birthday. Which I thought was really funny. So tomorrow is my 3-year sober birthday. And I think the months and weeks leading up to it can be a little bit difficult for me. I know for other people, they have different experiences. For me, I still have muscle memory of what I was doing 3 years ago. And it was a shit show. And looking back on it, it's like I was a completely different person. I mean, I was making decisions that were not healthy and that I would not make today. And I was run on fear and insecurity, and everything in the world was about me. I mean, everything that everyone was doing was to get me. It was out to get me. It was, you know, to hurt me. My job hated me and all my coworkers hated me. And, you know, my family was still speaking to me at that point. Parts of my family don't speak to me anymore, but, you know, so they seemed fine. But I was single and all my ex-boyfriends, you know, were horrible, horrible people who were out to break my heart. And even though I had broken up with most of them myself, that doesn't stop the story that I am unlovable and unworthy. So, you know, I'm actually not entirely sure if I've told this story on the podcast. And you know what? We are 22 episodes in. So if I am repeating myself, I am so sorry. So many apologies. You can write to me and tell me, get some new shit, Nicole. Which again, I appreciate your emails. That email again is Nicole, NICHOLE, at happyjoyousandfreakingout.com. So 3 years ago, I was, you know, doing stupid stuff, and it had been 2 weeks since I had a drink, and I had never made it 2 weeks before. And I had been going to AA for about 3 months. And every time I got called on, I would say, hi, my name's Nicole. And then I wouldn't say that I was an alcoholic. I would just say, hi, my name's Nicole. And I would talk about how scared I was. And I would talk about how lonely I felt. And quite honestly, no one came up to me after the meeting. I figured out later is because that meeting was mostly older gay men. And they had no interest in talking to a young single girl. Like, they had no interest in that. One, they couldn't sponsor me. And two, they couldn't sleep with me. So, you know, that's fine. To each their own. That's great. It just wasn't super helpful. And I should have made better decisions about the meetings that I was going to. But, so no one talked to me. And I felt lonely. And somehow, I collected 14 consecutive days. And I don't know how I did it. I don't remember those weeks previous, except that I had a lot of trouble sleeping the first week. And I smelled like alcohol the first week for a good, like, I think 4 or 5 days after I quit drinking. And yeah, those were the two things that, you know, detoxing was like, those were my two DT effects. And some people have had a lot worse. So I consider myself a bit lucky in that regard. But I was, had 2 weeks, and it was the night before Capitol Hill block party. And I was walking up the street to my apartment, and I thought about, oh shit, tomorrow's Capitol Hill block party. I haven't had a drink for 2 weeks. Maybe I should have a margarita to celebrate. Why a margarita? I don't know. It was never my drink of choice. No idea. And just at that moment, this guy passed me, and he was carrying the AA Big Book. And that's fucking weird, because no one carries that shit around out for other people to see. Like, that was nuts. And it just gave me pause. And I thought, oh shit, I'm an alcoholic. And that was a god shot. And I can't fucking believe I'm an alcoholic. It was a lot. It was a lot of emotions. And I called my mom. And I made it through the weekend without having a drink. And I went to the meeting the next following Tuesday at 7 a.m. And I got called on. And I said I was an alcoholic for the first time. And everybody loved it, and they cheered, and they of course came up to me afterwards and were like willing to talk to me and help me, and you know, it was different. I think because, you know, I was in a different place and I was ready to receive. And a lot of my experience being sober in the last 3 years has been learning to open myself up to new experiences, because fear had driven my life for so long. I was so afraid of people, places, and things, and I was afraid of disappointment. And I think my biggest experience with just letting myself be open to things has been moving to Portland, because my life is so different. So not only is this my 3 year sober anniversary, it's also the year anniversary of me moving to Portland. And in Portland, I have found a fellowship and rich, authentic friendships with women that I never had before, on a you know, growing scale. I've definitely had great, authentic, real relationships with women in other places that I lived, Seattle being where I got sober. And you know, those women are amazing, and I'm so, so grateful for them. And I think that in Portland, I was ready for, you know, a bigger group, like a bigger collective. And my friend called me the other day. She was coming back from speaking at a rehab. She was just talking about how grateful she was for our friendship and, you know, these Saturday morning coffees that we all have, and, you know, this group of sober sisters that she's able to call on. And she was saying everything that I was thinking, and she was echoing me perfectly. And I just, like, oh my God, just, it's just amazing. And the reason that that happened is because I am way more open to it. My heart is so much more open and receiving and receptive to other people wanting to come in and wanting to take space. And I let them do it. And that's never happened before. I've never been that kind of person. I've always been distant. I've always had a wall built up around me. So that is just like weird and wild and totally, totally cool. I was also talking to my other friend the other day, another person in this kind of sober sisterhood. And, you know, she's like, oh my God, you're 3 year anniversaries tomorrow. How do you feel? And I was like, oh, you know, like I feel weird. I feel great. I feel, you know, it's totally crazy. And she was like, she challenged me to say, you know, instead of being, I've been Instead of saying, I've been sober for 3 years, try saying, I haven't had a drink in 3 years. And it's so weird, but that sounds so different to me. I think haven't had a drink, is a little bit scary. It sounds scary to me, and it sounds like there's a little bit of lack there, but it also sounds like, I guess I never even really, I don't know. I can't really explain that. I guess I never really thought of it this way. I never really thought of sobriety being just the absence of substance in my life. Because for me, it is so much more. And for her too, we talked about this. But like if you just pare it down to, I haven't had a drink in 3 years, that makes it sound like I've been dry for 3 years. And, I have been, but it's this whole life altering thing that I've gone through. And she asked me, she was like, have you done anything consistently for years besides eating and sleeping, and breathing? Is there anything that you've done on the daily for 3 consecutive years? And I really struggled to come up with an answer because I don't think that there is something. I really don't. When I got sober, I was really into yoga. And I keep thinking about it. I'm like, wow, if I had like kept up with that 3 years down the line, I'd be a master yogi by now. And I'd be doing handstands and all that stuff. Like, just think of what could have been. But, but there's a difference between like getting set up and getting, dressed in my yoga pants and getting the mat out and doing the moves and making this entire life change to a spiritual-based life. Because that's what sobriety is for me. It is a daily reprieve from the obsession to drink and a spiritual based program for living. And the way that I practice my spirituality manifests in different ways. Sometimes it is yoga. I've been doing that recently until I got sick. Sun salutations have been my thing. That's been my morning prayers and meditation. And the other way that it manifests is developing these real authentic relationships with people. And the other way it manifests is by going to meetings and sharing. And the other way it manifests is by reaching out to newcomers and then doing service work and all these things that I've been doing recently, very recently. The service work has been the biggest thing that's been the most recent, and people talk about it all the time about how great it fucking is, and I never really understood that until very recently. And I know I sound like a cliche, but it really is, it's lit my program on fire. Yeah, I don't think that there's anything else in my life that I have done consistently except this entire shift in consciousness. And it didn't come about quickly. I would say that the immediate effects of it came about rapidly because I was on a pink cloud for a good 6 months. And that was crazy. And but the fundamental way that I live my life now is completely different. And it's very simple. I wouldn't say that it's easy, it's simple. Because all it really involves is realizing that not everything is about me, relying on something bigger than myself, and being of service to other people. And those are 3 things that I just didn't have 3 years ago. I simply didn't. And, quite honestly, like everything in my life could look the same. Things have way shifted. I got a new job, I got a new place to live, all the material things are different, but I feel like I still might be just as happy even if I even if things were the same. I don't know. I can't really say. I can't really say. I mean, I did break up with my boyfriend, so you know, that is a big thing. That's a thing that's supposed to, you know. And I am sad. I don't want to say that I'm not sad. I am. I'm devastated. But I have tools for processing this stuff that I didn't have before. And it's so wild, so crazy, and so magnificent. And you know, for those who are sober or those who aren't sober, because I do get emails from folks who are not sober, I am curious, you know, like what's something that you've done consistently for a number of years or a number of months? And you know, what is it and how did you do it? You know, how do we develop these habits? Because I felt like at the beginning of my sobriety, it was a habit that I had to cultivate. And now it's just a way that I live. And I'm so much more happy and grateful and engaged with my life. It's such a weird way to be. So yeah, I'll have 3 years tomorrow. And I think I'm going to go to a meeting and hang out with my sober sisters. And that's about it. Yeah. You know, I hope that if you're struggling right now, I hope that you get help. And I hope that you are able to reach out because there are people out there who love you. And there are people out there who want you to succeed. And I know this because I've experienced it. And I also love you. Just so you know, I love you, and I'll, you know, I think you're great. So thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Here's to another 3 years, 30 years, 300 years. All right. Much love. Bye.